What's up, guys? It's Rickin, and you are on the Rickin YouTube channel. Today, we're talking all about virtual wholesaling and how you can get started with zero money. Honestly, it's probably the best market to get started with zero money. You can do it locally, but we're all about virtual marketing. And the funny thing is, when I started way back in 2003, this was like unheard of. And honestly, it was really hard unless you had local connection. So I want to go through it today. What we'll do is take the first 30 minutes. I'll walk you through a step-by-step tutorial, the things you have to consider. I'm going to walk you through the pros and the cons, and then I'm going to walk you through the steps you need to initiate your virtual wholesaling market. And it's important you understand. I'm going to give you the basic criteria you need to be successful in a virtual market, because if you skip these, I can almost guarantee you failure. But before we get into it, you will see, let me put this on here. My name is Rickin, and I've been wholesaling for 20 plus years, actually 21 years now. And I'm kind of obsessed with wholesaling. I've never left it. I've always enjoyed it. So here's what I want you to do. If you get value from today's video, make sure you smash that like button. And as usual, please make sure you're subscribed. I'm making some changes to my channel where you're only going to get the Rickin stuff on Rickin. So if you're watching on other channels, enjoy it while you can, but just make sure you are subscribed so you can continue to receive the most up-to-date information on wholesaling from Rickin. I've been doing this a long time. I've been through the most extreme markets. I've been in the worst market, I've been in the best market, and I've been in a good market. And I don't even know what today's market is. It's kind of crazy. It's all over the board. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. So there's two ways you guys can connect with me. Real simple. Make sure you comment your questions and you will see. Where did I put it? You can put your comments on the sidebar and you guys can connect with me. If you got a question, ask it there. It's the best place to do it. You guys are here to connect. This is actually live. It will be recorded. So if you jump in halfway, go back and just rewind it. It's really simple. So when you ask questions, number one, introduce what market you're from, what you're doing. You can tell me your experience level. I don't care. I just want to help you guys out. So make sure you do that. And also, you will see under Rickin, there is a link there. That is your link if you want to do a one-on-one. I do it on a first-come, first-served basis. Guys, when you come on the link, just kind of be ready. You can put yourself on mute and quiet until it comes on. You don't have to be on video. I do like the interaction though. And that is a great place to connect with me one-on-one and do a mastermind. The only dumb question you ask is the one that you don't ask. But for the record, I love working on deals. I love to talk about marketing. Do not get on there and bitch and whine, because I'm probably the least favorite person you're going to deal with, because I'm going to hit you with what we call the truth. So that's it. So comments, use the comment section to ask your questions. I put the link in there. I see a lot of you have already taken advantage of it. So that is awesome. So today we are talking all about virtual wholesaling. And I would like to tell you, I did virtual wholesaling from the beginning. I didn't. Honestly, I was a local wholesaler. That's what I did. And I perfected my craft really, really well, almost for 12, 13 years before I even considered doing virtual markets. Why? Because technology changed, the speed to connect with people between phones, the internet, and basically data you could get has absolutely changed and revolutionized the business. So here's why virtual marketing is so important. For those of you that are stuck in major metro markets, if you don't know what I'm talking about, New York, LA, Miami, San Francisco, stuff like that, it's almost, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but unless you have capital, you have deep connections, it would be very, very hard to start a wholesaling business in there. So somebody came up with the ideas you could do virtual wholesaling. Now, it's been around forever, but it really became mainstream about probably 7-8 years ago. And now you have the ability to go anywhere you want and you can pick a market, especially if you're in one of the markets I just mentioned before. And a lot of markets are getting busier and busier. Florida's getting nuts. The average price here is just, I was buying houses for 30, 40 grand when I started. And now I'm spending $400,000 on houses. Just to show you. And if you go in San Fran, New York, a lot of these are million, if not multi-million dollar markets. The sellers are more advanced. They usually require brokers and lawyers, and it's very hard to start in that wholesaling market. So that's the advent of wholesaling, and that's why virtual wholesaling has become so popular, because why not? Why not pick the market that you want to start out in? So the reality is either you had like a really bad job, or you're trying to get out of a bad job or do something like that, and you've decided, hey, I like wholesaling. I think it's great. But the problem is maybe you're in San Fran or Miami and you're stuck in such a hot market that you have to consider a market outside of yours. That's what we're going to talk about today, and that's what I'm going to do. But before I get into it, do me a favor. If you have never, ever heard about wholesaling, anything like that, what I would like you to do is start over at freewholesaling.com. This is a course me and my son have created over 3 years ago because we're so frustrated with the guru hype out there. You got to do the interview. You got to do the phone call. You got to pay me $5,000 or $10,000. Guys, I'll teach you at freewholesaling.com right here below. I guarantee you, not only can I teach you how to do your first wholesaling deal, I get you to your first 100K. And honestly, I will do it 100% for free. I give you my word, it's 100% free, period. I don't think wholesaling should be this difficult. It's changed my life. It's changed the trajectory of my family. Everybody who's associated with me, obviously my son, and why not give it back to you? So I taught a 16-year-old really basic, simple techniques on how to do it. And I had an epiphany when I did that. I go, let's just give it away for free. Everybody else is charging for it. So I'm a really good marketer, and it's what I do. And why do I do this? Because I want to create a legacy. I want to create more successful wholesalers out there than anybody else, period. How do I do that? Why don't I just take money out of the way? I don't know why you guys would pay $5,000 or $10,000 for wholesaling. It's such a basic skill to learn. And here's a little hint. You can't learn everything you want to know on wholesaling in 3 months. It's just not physically possible, but you can definitely get your first deal and you can get on your way to making 100K. So I'm going to create long-lasting relationships. That's why I do it. Everyone says, hey, Rick, why do you do it? So go over to freewholesaling.com and jumpstart that. So let's jump into the teaching moment, and then we'll jump on the lives, and I'll get through this as quick as I can. If you have a question, just go ahead and put it in there, and I will answer them as soon as I'm done doing this. So let's talk about virtual wholesaling. You guys already know what it is. It's when you do a market outside your own. What do I define as a virtual wholesaling market? Really anything, in my opinion, 100 miles outside of your market. I used to say 75, but honestly, that's just a quick car drive. That's like an hour, maybe an hour, 15-minute drive for a lot of you. So a virtual market is anything you pick outside 100 miles outside your area. And honestly, a lot of you guys are going halfway across the country, and that's great. So let's talk about the pros of why people will do virtual wholesaling. I've already mentioned a few of them. Listen, dude, get this image in your head. You ready for this? If you do it correctly, you never, ever have to leave your house, your home office, whatever you want to call it. You could sit in your pajamas all day if you do it correctly. Why? Because your two main vehicles are a computer and a phone, cell phone, whatever you want to call it. That's it, guys. That's the beauty of it. And most people have those two criteria: a good internet connection, a computer, and a cell phone. If you have those three items, you qualify for virtual wholesaling. Excuse me. Think about this. I'm telling you, full on pajamas, like whatever you want to do, get as creative as you want with your mind. You can do whatever you want. Now, here's another pro. You can pick any market in the United States of America. There's no limits to this. You can do whatever you want. How you pick the market, we're going to discuss that. But you have to understand, why would people do virtual wholesaling? I'm giving you the pros. Don't worry, I'm going to go through the cons, because every guru in America will not discuss the cons with you. And that's why most of you get sucker punched into a course that doesn't work. Sorry, gurus. It's the freaking truth, and you guys know it. By the way, they all tell me when I talk to them. Another positive is you can find a lot more motivated sellers because you're not just limited to your market. And some of you guys don't have a lot of motivated sellers in your really hot markets. So you got to go find markets where you can find motivated sellers. That's the other pro of doing virtual wholesaling. Now, also not to mention, you can easily run multiple marketing campaigns instead of being limited to your own backyard. I will give you a full disclosure. I always advise you to do your local market. Why? Because you know it better than most people do. And eventually somebody will sell a property that needs some love, needs some help. They have motivation. If you have the skills and you know the market, even if you're doing virtual market, I always want you to stay attuned to your local market. Yes, San Fran, Miami, New York, LA. You would be surprised when people have to sell a property fast. If you could make one connection with them and get it sold, always stay attuned to your local market. So also, here's the other reason. You have an unlimited potential for doing wholesale deals, period. It's the truth. You know that's the truth. That's why people are so attracted to it. So I just ran you through the cons. And honestly, most bulletin points you're going to see on Facebook, Instagram, definitely YouTube, on Google, all they do is accent all those beautiful points. But let me run you through a little bit of the downside. And for full disclosure, I do virtual wholesaling. It works. But I learned a few lessons when I started out doing it. And I want to share with you these tips so you understand going forward, because most gurus are just going to sell you a course and tell you the positive, and then you're going to find out the negative after you paid, and you're going to have to figure it all in yourself. So let's talk a little bit about the cons. And you know what? Dude, go ahead and put in the comments what you think the cons are, and we'll see if we check them all off the box. Just keep it clean because there's plenty of kids watching this, okay? Here's the biggest drawback. All real estate is local. I will never dispute this point. I have tried to test this. I have been challenged on this, and I find this statement 100% true. We overcomplicate real estate, and all real estate is local. There's different customs. Sometimes you're by the water. Sometimes you're on farmland. Sometimes you're in major metro cities. Everyone likes their favorite destinations, and for that reason, this is never going to change. How do I know this? Because I've watched at least a dozen major companies try to do wholesaling on a national level. And there's one common denominator. Ready? They all fail. Because you can't run a company and just run like total macros, meaning just big giant policies and we'll buy any house under $400,000 because every market's local. A perfect example, you know, as well as I do, you go one town over, you go one county over, It's the buying criteria can be 10-15% different. Most major corporations operate on anywhere from 12-15% margins. So if you wipe that out in half the markets, they're going to go belly up. A lot of these companies gone bankrupt. You've seen all these companies that will buy sight unseen. They pair up with Zillow. You know all the names. They all go broke in the long run. Why? Because all real estate's local. It's never going to change. Guys, I've been doing this 21 years. This statement's truer today than it ever was, and it's not going to change. You can automate the crap out of anything you want. You can throw AI. All real estate's going to be local, and you got to keep that in mind. Next one. Your average days to profit in doing virtual wholesaling is around 90 days. Now, it's not the end of the world, guys. Why is that? Because all real estate's local, and it's going to take you 90 days to understand what contracts are going to stick, what price points work, and what price points don't work. You have to understand that going on that. To be honest with you, it's one of the biggest failures I see of wholesalers who get started in this market. So you understand like anything you start new is going to take some time to learn. Wholesaling itself takes some time to learn. Now, you don't need to learn the whole thing. You don't need to know everything about real estate. You got to understand how to market. You got to understand how to talk to people and find motivated sellers. You figure out that part, I can get you to the profit faster. But trying to figure out what the local values are of that market and you're not from it, it just takes time. How does it take time? You have to fail on quite a few deals. It's just the truth. Guys, I've been through it personally. And whenever I start a new market, other than my skill set of talking to people, I don't know the local markets and I screw it up all the time. So I don't say that to scare you, but you have to understand when you go in, you're going to have to give yourself a 90-day window. And I don't count profits as writing contracts. I count profit as putting it in your bank account. So some of you might take 180 days. It's just the truth on this matter. And you've got to understand that going into it. Here is, and I'm going in order of how I see this stuff. So if all real estate's local, it takes you 90 days on average. What do you think happens in those 90 days? It's not that you're doing nothing. Here's what's happening. You have a high contract fallout rate, meaning every time you write a contract, it's going to fall out. When we do our local markets, we have about an 85 to 90% acceptance rate, anywhere from 80 to 90%, maybe 75 if you're super aggressive. And I don't have a problem with that number. But once you get below 75%, you got to ask yourself, what the hell are you doing? And now in a local market, that might just be an experience, but in a virtual market, it is not uncommon. I believe the industry average is around 55%. Guys, think about that. That's almost half the contracts fail. Why? Because all real estate is local. It's no big deal. You have to factor it in your business plans. You are never going to get the closing ratios you get in a local market. And I'll go in a little bit more depth on that. But knowing this stuff will help you understand the challenges with virtual marketing. And most people will not stick out the 90 days because they want an instant profit and they don't understand why they can't make it stick. The reason is you're going to have a higher contract fallout rate. And I will go through in details in this presentation of why that happens. Okay. Now, why do they fall out? Let's just move on to the next one. You can't see the real estate, so you're going to have hidden problems. Do you ever think sellers lie to you? Absolutely. More than half of them are lying to you up front. And you guys know it. I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. But the difference in a local market, you can get your eyes, you go out, look at it. You can have someone quickly get in a car. When it's virtual, sometimes you never know. And either you send someone by to inspect the property for you. Maybe you send a friend, a colleague, a JV partner, a realtor, I don't know, an inspector, and you find out the house needs $70,000 of repair and you thought you had a great deal. This is why the contracts fall out. You can't see them and it's okay. It even happens in our local market. I'm just telling you the facts with it. It is a big part of this deal. So you've got to understand. Now, when you can't see it and you find out about it, it doesn't mean it's not going to work. It just means you have to spend more energy renegotiating it. And it takes a lot of phone skill to do that. And you'll learn how to do that. Now, keep in mind, because it's virtual, you can't get belly to belly with your sellers. That means you're not standing right in front of them. Because when you stand in front of someone, you get this magical ability to not only hear the words, but almost 70% of communication is nonverbal. If you don't believe me, if you're not married, you don't have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, if you don't have a sibling, a mom or a dad, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can see their facial reactions. You can see the eye roll. When people look up, when they look down, guys, I study people. I find them absolutely fascinating. If you really want to get really good at negotiations, being able to look at people and be present with them gives you a huge upper hand in negotiations. You're not going to get that in virtual. And those of you who go, well, I'll just FaceTime them or I'll Skype them. It's hard. I'm just like the reality of if you got 10% of the people to do that, I would be really amazed with it. But you lose that nonverbal communication cues. And that's why that's going to factor into if your contracts are going to stick or not. Now, I've kind of gone through the basics of the pros and cons. If you guys got any others you want to throw on here, I would love to hear it. You can throw it on there. So let's just walk through how do we do virtual wholesaling? Because I'm trying to stay on the shot clock here of 30 minutes or less. So how do we start virtual wholesaling? Honestly, you just got to do it. Most of you are going to overthink it. So if you're stuck in one of those markets that I've mentioned before, a major, major metropolitan area, like you don't have a choice. So that's an easy decision for you. If you're on the fence and you're in an area and you think it's saturated or not, honestly, be careful when you just label your market saturated, because I'm in probably one of those most saturated markets on planet Earth in South Florida. Now, I've been doing this a long time, but if I started out in South Florida right now, there's still opportunities here. You're going to have to hustle a lot more. So first, stop defining what you think saturated. Remember, it's just your opinion. You have no experience in wholesaling. So for you to have a conversation with yourself and saying, I think my market's saturated, it's just your opinion. You are not an expert enough to make that. So you got to go out and look at the data. So first of all, you've got to start. You got to make that decision. Before you even start, I'm going to throw this out for you. Remember how we always talk about cash buyers list, especially if you're doing the local markets or anything like that. The first thing you have to do in virtual wholesaling, you better create a robust cash buyers list, because the cash buyers list is part of your research project to find out if you're in the right market. If you don't have a crap load of cash buyers, you are in the wrong market. There's nothing worse than getting a good deal and having nobody wants to buy it. It means you're in a really bad neighborhood, or you're in a neighborhood where nobody wants to buy. So part of your research when doing virtual wholesaling is talking to your customer. Who's your customer? Your customer is the cash buyer, the local cash buyers. Your product is the motivated sellers. So if you don't know what your customer wants, you're going to get screwed. So you got to do this first before you do anything else, because it's part of your research. If you don't have a lot of cash buyers, you're in trouble. How do you find cash buyers? REIList.com. You can go over to Batch. You can search, guys, you can just search everywhere. ListSource, you can actually pull up the cash buyers for free. Go on Flip with Rick on my YouTube channel. I teach you how to do that. You can actually get the information for free. And you know, you can call for rent ads. You're going to have to do it digital because you're not doing virtually. But guys, the cash buyer list is the number one thing you have to start out when you do virtual wholesaling, because without it, you're going to have real problems, I promise you. So let me get back here. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do is just choose a market. I put the cash buyers list because if you don't do that one, the rest of this will not work at all. You cannot wait till the very end to get a cash buyer, because your shot clock will expire on you, I promise you. So I'm going to give you simple criteria. And by the way, all this criteria and how to do virtual wholesaling is all in freewholesaling.com. It goes into much more detail. I only have so much time to go over this, so I'm giving you the highlight points so you can get an understanding if you want to attack a virtual market. And most of the ways I'm teaching you today is if you have no money. You have an internet, you have a computer, and you have a cell phone. If you have those three things, the rest you can do. You're going to have to work harder than the person with money, but that's just how it works. Your first, other than a robust cash buyers list, which is a must. If you don't have that, don't even pick the market. I prefer 100K population, period. Like, the more people you have, the more buyers you're going to have. Now, somebody asked me the other day, what's your minimum? If you go below 50, you have no shot. Between 50 and 100, you're going to have some skill set. But if you want to make it a no-brainer and you're brand new to it and you have no money, start with 100K or more. Why? Because that's what the data tells us, and that's what we've done over time, and that's what works. We've already talked about this earlier. If you're brand new and you want to do virtual wholesaling, please avoid the major metro markets. If you don't know what a major metro market is, look it up. It'll have a huge population. It's very established, and it's going to kill you. Now, I already mentioned this earlier. You got to have a ton of cash buyers. I'm going to keep mentioning it over and over. It's going to keep popping up. The next thing you need to do is you need to look for homes that are at or below that market median price, period. So if I'm in San Fran and you see the average price is $2.3 million, it's probably not going to work for wholesaling. They're just too sophisticated at the price because it's a very mature market. Typically, you're looking for 400K or less, period. But that's, so you can look up the US average price, which I believe is just below that or right at that, and you want to stay below it. The lower you go, the more demand you're typically going to have. If you get above that average price, you're going to have more sophistication. It's much more complex, and you're going to have less buyers, and you're going to have a ton of wait time, and none of that stuff works in wholesaling. So you've got to just use the simple criteria. So we talk about population, avoid major metro market areas. And I'm here to tell you, if you have a very established market, look on the outskirts of it. I have made a killing doing this. And you have to test it out a little bit. But sometimes, like, when Miami has always been a big market, you looked at like the areas just south of Miami, like Homestead. Homestead for the longest time was one of the best wholesaling markets ever. The drawback is you had to be bilingual to operate there. If you could put that together, any one of you in the last 10 years would have destroyed Homestead. Homestead now, the prices are ginormous. It is not a great deal anymore. It is possible, but it's creeping up to the full Miami downtown levels. And I'm telling you, I knew this for a long time. It worked really well. And why? Because people got tired of the prices in Miami, and so they started trying to find affordable areas. Homestead was always considered the working man's community. It's where people went home for the service industry. They went back and forth from the Keys to downtown Miami. Now, all of a sudden, the average house is like $650,000. Before, you could buy them all day at $100,000, $150,000. And I'm talking about brand new homes, guys. So what you need to do is duplicate markets like that. So if you're in a major market, especially in like California or Florida, look at the outskirt areas where you're looking for the next gold and where people are going, businesses are going. Always look for Home Depots, Walmarts, and Starbucks. Wherever those pops up, they are servicing their customer base and they do a ton of research. You do not have to overfigure this. So now, guys, when it comes to research, I'm watching my shot clock. I'm almost done. Don't reinvent the wheel here. I do not spend money on marketing when finding a virtual market. Why? Because I like other people to do the heavy lifting for me. Here's how I do it. I'm going to give you my market hack. Ready? It's right here. Find ego-driven wholesalers. If you can't find one, you are not on social media. People who brag about how great they're doing, take their information, get on their cash buyers list, and verify what they say is true. Meaning, go look in the property appraiser site, go look on the clerk of courts, make sure they're buying. Look at the purchase price on the property and what it was sold for. And once you can verify that, find that zip code. Put a map. Now, I used to do this old school with a map on the board, and you pin it. And go see if other people are having success there. Get on their cash buyers list. They know where the gold is. You do. All you need is the map. They're going to give you their map because young wholesalers love to brag. I used to be one of them. I'm not a hypocrite. And I pointed, listen, I'm probably responsible for bringing 2,000 wholesalers to Port St. Lucie alone, period. No, I'm not. I got every guy from like Phoenix that comes over here. I got every guy and gal from California. I got a ton of ladies over here. I don't care. It doesn't bother me, but I'm telling you, when we point that and you go on there and brag and you get on their cash buyers list, they don't vet their cash buyers list because they're too important and they have their VA doing it. It's like a piece of cake. So all you have to do, you have to verify their information. And once you do that, just duplicate the areas they're marketing to. And it's not hard to figure this out. Honestly, guys, I still do this today. I rely on people bragging on the internet, because it's the easiest way to duplicate their success. And here's the key. I didn't spend any money. I know where it's hot right now, because in wholesaling, you got to find out where it's going on now, not 6 months, a year or two, whatever happened in 2020 or 2021, you're in a different world right now. So people's ego, and I teach you on the Rick and channel, the Flip with Rick, and I teach my son, you've got to drop your ego to be a successful wholesaler. Because you just pave the path for other people and you make it harder for yourself in the long run. So use this trick or not, I'm telling you, it is the most powerful trick. Or go out and spend $3,000 in market research and test it out for years, or just use my little hack. It works really well. I know I upset a lot of gurus and a lot of people by doing it, but it's the truth. If they don't post it and they truly vetted their cash buyers list, they would never, ever have this problem. But the most part, 95% of wholesalers, they don't vet their cash buyers list. And most of it is riddled with wholesalers. And most of them are looking to knock them off. And that's how it goes. Guys, it happened to me for years. I figured it out. And I got really pissed when I found out. And I go, well, hell, I'm just going to use this strategy. And they taught me a lesson. Okay, moving on. The next one is, we got to go out and create niche. You got to go out and create your niche list. So if you're doing this for free, what you want to do, the best niche list you can get are government lists. If you want the plethora of government lists, go over to freewholesaling.com. I go into detail on you. Pre-foreclosures, probates, evictions, water shutoffs, fire damage. The list goes on and on. And it's super long. And you got to get those lists and you attack them and you simply got to skip trace them. Now, if you skip trace them for free, you guys know the drill, truepeoplesearch.com, or you can use one of our preferred providers. And it's anywhere from like 10 to 12 cents per lead to skip trace it. It's up to you. If you got no money, then you're just going to have to suck it up with a little hustle muscle. And the next thing is what marketing method you're going to do. This is not rocket science, guys. It's very straightforward. So you're virtual. I've already told you one. You got to have a phone. So you know where I'm going with that. That's going to be cold calling and texting. Honestly, they're the two most popular ones. But what a lot of you do is once you get set up within your 90 days of your virtual wholesaling is you want to find local partners. Now, if you're fortunate enough to be doing a virtual market where you have family and friends, or maybe you went to school there, or maybe you grew up there, then it's easy to get people to help you. And if you can do that and it's the right market, go for it. So what you can do is compensate people to help take pictures. You can have people help get signatures for you. It's really easy to do it. Now, I will tell you, you have to use a local title company in your market. And if you have to get a mobile notary, it's very easy for them to get signatures for you. I think it's $75. It's well worth it to do it. Now, if you can get a JV partner, my recommendation is if you can get someone to go out and help you find deals and you use the skill set to follow up on these leads, you can really create some win-win situations. How do you do it? Simple, driving for dollars, reverse driving for dollars. Partner up with a JV. Don't be cheap on this, guys, because if they go out and get you a huge list and you know it's a quantity game, the more you can convert them, the more you can pay. My recommendation is like a 50-50 because they are there. You are sitting in your home. Unless you want to get on a plane or get in a car and drive 1,000 miles, take care of these people. If you pay them like 10%, you will never see them again. So you want to pay them well. And do not overcomplicate virtual wholesaling. The reality is 2-page contract. Keep it simple. You don't need a full realtor's contract. If you want to get the contract, over to freewholesaling.com. We share the whole thing for you for free. It's no big deal. And then basically you are going to market your contracts via assignment contract to cash buyers. Why? Because you've already built a robust cash buyers list and you're ready to unload these things. And here's the secret, guys. You got to understand, virtual wholesaling, you have to leave enough money to incite a cash buyer to take action. And if you're not going to leave money in it, I promise you, anything you do in virtual wholesaling will not work. Think about this. A cash buyer is not going to buy your deal unless he or she thinks they can make a profit. If you're under the mindset the way all the gurus taught you in the last 5-7 years to be a professional disposition real estate agent / wholesaler, it does not work in wholesaling. So there's entire courses made up about JVing with wholesalers like you and me, and then making $5,000 or $10,000 off of them to try to dispo their deal. That's what you call a realtor. Now, listen, I'm all about doing JVs, but if your whole mission is nothing more than connecting with other people like me to find motivated sellers, you got to ask yourself, are you truly a wholesaler? Maybe a transaction engineer. You're definitely a disposition person, AKA real estate agent. Guys, I never got in this business to be a real estate agent. I'm all about people helping and finding deals. But understand, when you do virtual wholesaling, you're going to be pounded by these people because there's an entire course that teaches you how to go out and find people like us that do virtual wholesaling. And they want to make as much, if not more, than you do. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to have you option your contract. And here's the problem is they're going to be marketing it through their own channels. That's where they spend the money and they're welcome to do it. And then you're going to try to go out and sell your own and you're going to compete with all these people. I would avoid those people like the plague. Here's how you know them. They're going to post in all the social media groups. Hey, got any cash buyers? You got cash? I got cash buyers. You got a deal. And they promise you the world. They have a failure rate of probably 90 to 95%. Why? Because I used to let them all do it, my virtual wholesaling. I will not even take them anymore. If they do not show a robust business where they actually do wholesaling and they are a professional disposition real estate agent, then I might as well just go to a real estate agent as opposed to a dispo person. If you have a cash buyer, that's great. Do not sign contracts with these people unless they have a buyer ready to go because they're just optioning you. And guess what? If they can't find a buyer and you're relying on them, you're going to lose your deal. So you should not be relying on people like this. So guys, I'm a little over time. I'm finished. So let me check the comments here. Let's get caught up. Let's see here. Okay, everybody sees the link. I see everyone's taking advantage of it. And here's an interesting one. Beb, you don't have to disclose a double closing. It's the whole purpose of it. It's two separate transactions. You don't have to do that. What's up, Winston? How you doing? Let's see here. How do you find? So here's a good question on our topic today. Diane says, how do you find someone to do driving for dollars since you're doing it virtual? You've got to go out and attract that person. So you either do it organically, maybe you know that market and you have friends and family or colleagues, or you're going to have to do it and you're going to have to market it. You're going to have to use something like Craigslist. You're going to have to use Facebook Marketplace. You're going to have to find investor groups and find people that will JV up and partner with you. To me, it's the perfect relationship. They can earn while they learn. And if they have the potential of even splitting a deal with you, it's absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, you're probably going to go through a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to have trust issues. So you got to find a way to win them over. You just got to find someone so eager to get a real estate deal, but has no money to like figure it out. And they don't have the education. They probably need to go to freewholesaling.com. You know what I'm talking about? And find someone who's motivated to partner up with you. But you got to carry your end of the bargain, and you got to call all these leads, and you have got to work them and qualify them and close them. Because if they send you hundreds of leads and you don't do anything with them, they're going to find somebody else to take care of it. So good question. So, okay. Sorry. So listen, Shayla, if you're a newbie, that's awesome. What I would do in this situation is I would find somebody locally that you can pair up with you to help you take this deal down, because I'm here to tell you, your problem is not the 60K in the statement. It's basically that the ex-wife's in there. That might as well be $1 million to you. It's not going to go well. So listen, whenever you deal divorce, you guys ever notice on the government list stuff, I never bring up divorce. So I'm a product of a divorced child. It's just a pain in the butt. When relationships like that go bad, a lot, some people just aren't mature about it, like my parents, and they use levers with their kids their entire life. And this still goes on in my life. I'm a grown man, and I still hear about the day my parents split up. And I'm just telling you, this is the exact scenario. You don't want, like, I didn't get into wholesaling to deal with like bickering couples. So it just doesn't make sense. I dropped something. So I would find someone that has some experience and work through it. But the odds of success with an ex-wife still living in the house, it's hard because they got to find a place for them to live. So past due 60K, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's what he owes the bank or something like that. But the 60K is a piece of cake compared to the X. So just giving you a little fill-in on that. I don't chase divorce lists down, guys, because the failure rate is massive. Here's what happens with divorce lists. You get really excited because one party wants to do the deal with you because they just want to move on in life. And the other one's like, absolutely not. You talk to my husband, I don't like him at all. And you are the enemy. And that's what happens every time you do it. So most of those properties wind up with a real estate agent because nobody can get along. So one wants $1 million, the other one wants to sell it for a dollar, and they get you all excited with the dollar. It's never going to work out. So, and plus I don't like to get in the middle of squabbles like that because you can't win. No one's going to win. The only ones that win is the attorney. I'm sure somebody on here with divorce could tell me about that, but I've been married 27 years. I don't want to go down that route. So, I appreciate that comment. Thank you. So, guys, life's too short to get into like battle. Like we deal enough getting these government lists. Like I tried the divorce list for 3 years. I did one deal and I think I made $3,000. And honestly, I would give it back today to get the memories out of my head of what I went through. So, because it brought back a lot of childhood memories for me. And I just, if you ever been from divorced parents, which is half of you, it sucks. So when you got, because there's always a story behind both of them. They're trying to tell you the story and you got kids that are caught in the middle. I hate that stuff. So, okay. Let's jump on some lives. Rob, you there?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I didn't want to give you the rant about the whole divorce list, but there's a reason I don't touch that list, man. And I know investors that do it, but like they're all very stressed. And listen, I got a daughter and a wife. I don't need any other women yelling at me, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on, man? What can I help you out with?
So I'm just now getting into virtual wholesaling. Decided to do it in southern Mississippi where my son is going to go to school.
Okay.
Primarily because he's at it's a satellite campus for the school he's going to, and they don't have dorms. So I was going to try to do like maybe a house hack was kind of what, you know, one of the reasons why I was looking at properties down there. But since I started looking for off market deals, I said, why not just turn it into a virtual wholesaling location?
Okay.
And so just looking at the criteria that you guys gave, it fits the criteria, you know, good population, the house median in the area is about 177,000. So to me, it's a pretty good price point. My biggest struggle right now is getting like those government lists. I tried to pull pre-foreclosures and it's not posted anywhere, in the county. So what they do is they actually print it out and you have to go and make a photocopy.
That's crazy. But I will tell you this, pre-foreclosure of its nature is an open public lawsuit. And by law, everybody has to be able to pull it up. And you know what? You bring up a good point there, Rob. And I didn't go over that and it wasn't fair. The government list virtually will be more challenging than you ever do it locally for obvious reasons, because you can't go and like go up to an office and visit. But I will tell you the foreclosure part, the pre-foreclosure, it's a lawsuit and it's public. It's a corporation suing a private individual. Just like if you or me got sued, everybody in America would have access to it. How they give you access to it is the game you have to play. It's ridiculous that they can't give it to you online and you got to like go in person and pick it up. It's ridiculous. But the advantage of that, I want you to understand that, is a lot of people will give up if it takes that much work to do it. And you don't have people competing from you from like California, South Florida, New York, because that's the problem when all the pre-foreclosures online, anybody in the world can attack it. Guys, there's guys and gals in other countries that are attacking these lists because they can do it. So it's not, I know it's a pain in the butt, but in my opinion, the foreclosure list should be the easiest list of them all to get, because it's a pub. All it is, it's not some specialty niche list. It's just a lawsuit of a corporation on a private individual, and it's classified under a foreclosure. And that's it. If you catch them early enough, they're great. So that's crazy. You can't get them online.
Yeah, I took a trip down there and that was, you know, how I figured it out. I went to the county office and talked to a really nice security guard. He was, you know, very helpful with all of my questions. And so I got a lot of information out of him. But it does look like that county just kind of does things through paper primarily. So they'll post it on a bulletin board. So I got a few leads that I was able to follow up with. The other thing that I, you know, want to go after would be like code violations and some of the other, you know, niche lists that you guys suggest.
So I mean, that's, these list guys are where the most motivation is going to come from. And when you especially do a virtual market and you're trying to figure out the lay of the land, that's how you have to attack it. Because if you start with a big, broad paid list, it's not easy because you don't know the values, you don't know the market. So the one thing you do know, you need to find motivated sellers. So you got to take the guesswork out of that. The part you're going to have to figure out is all you have to do is qualify them, and then you got to figure out values. And that's where the kind of the 90-day play comes in. And unfortunately, I've learned this the hard way. Even today, when we, as much tools we have and stuff like that, when you can't put your eyes on it, you have to take the seller's word for it. And when you put eyes on it and find out there's $50,000 of damage to the property that wasn't accounted for in your math, you have to recalculate and figure. So sometimes you go, oh my God, I'm making $50,000. And you go, I don't even think I'm going to break even on this deal. And that's the problem with virtual marketing. It just means you got to do a little bit more volume and you are going to have a higher contract fallout rate. Now, here's one of the things to counteract that. One of the most important things is you can't have a short, tiny little inspection period in a virtual contract. Because if you think it's tough doing it 14 days for a local contract, it's almost impossible doing it in a virtual market that you're new to. So my suggestion is always try to get 30 days. Guys, I know that's aggressive, but I'm telling you, if you're new to that market and you don't have a great cash buyers list, it's going to take you every bit of 2 to 3 weeks if you have a good deal to find a cash buyer for it. So make sure you use that tip, Rob.
Appreciate that. Good stuff. Any advice on you know what to say when I'm trying to reach out for like code violations, like the list that are a little bit harder to come by in like a pre-foreclosure?
I'm just going to give you some general information because everyone's a little different. When you guys go after these lists, some of the people's problems is you guys act like you're going to like McDonald's or Burger King and ordering off like the meal chart, and you're not. Let's just say, hey, I need the foreclosure list. Give it to me now. It could be public sitting on the person's desk. You actually have to, I'm just going to say this nicely. You got to kiss people's butts a little bit and you got to smile and you got to make their day better because they're just an employee. And I don't know about you, but I used to work at a skating rink when I was in my teenage years. And I was the guy behind the counter that, you know, when they were done with the, you know, when you got the rental skates and you had to, you know, tell them the shoe size and stuff like that. If you were mean, and now I was young, okay, so don't, I'm just telling you the truth. If you were mean and nasty to you, I gave you the old bent blades that were terrible. And if you were super kind to me, I gave you like the really good skates. And I had people actually tip me and then I would give them like the real hockey skates for the guys. And then at the end of the day, everyone would throw their skates back at me. It would be piled so high. And for 4 hours, it was my job with shoe deodorizers. It was one of the worst jobs I ever had in my life. And, but I'm telling you is when you have like some lower end help, if you don't treat those people nice, they will make your life difficult and they will ruin your experience. And you just, a lot of us overlook that part and go, listen, I will kiss the seller's butt. I will kiss the cash buyer's butt. But when it comes to getting these government lists, I'm just going to demand it. You can't. Yeah. Like these are people. They're good people. And a lot of times if you kill them with kindness, you can get a lot further with it, even when they frustrate you. And by the way, people have a bad day all the time. And you just got to help them out and try to put a smile on their face. And it's especially hard to do it on the phone while you're not in person with them. So even when they give you negative feedback and stuff, you can't do like the threatening voice or anything like that. But you actually have to connect, unfortunately, with virtual wholesaling, you have to connect with these government employees almost like you do with a motivated seller.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Isn't it a great day? Hey, it's Friday. We're almost done. And you know what? The reality is you get more lists on Thursday and Friday than you get on Monday and Tuesday. Ask me how I know that. My wife used to do this thing. So when I started doing government lists, when I was taught a long time ago, my wife would call. And I go, why do you always wait till Friday? She goes, people are in such a great mood on Friday, especially government employees. And here's how she started every conversation. Happy Friday. Like, yeah, get off. Then she goes, when do you get off? What are you doing this weekend? And she'd spend 5 minutes. And then she just slip it in there. Hey, by the way, can you just email me that list? I go, absolutely. You changed my day. As opposed to go, give me that list right now and email it me now. So just common sense, Rob, when you're nice and you smile with people and you're helpful. I will tell you, I do not call on that list on Monday morning because it's like, you ever walked into work on Monday morning, a job you don't like? It's like, dude, and you got a pile of paperwork and if someone's on the phone. I need this and this. I'm like, you're on hold or I'll get back to you in a week or two. So sometimes some common traits that we all see in American workforce and you can take advantage of it. And sometimes I told people, if you have the ability, why would I have my wife call? Because sometimes I'd get stonewalled and I put in a female and it was a completely, sometimes girls connect with girls better. And when a guy with a girl, like I didn't get anywhere, they would give my wife everything. And I'm like, you know, that's not fair. My wife would just be grinning over to me. And I'm just telling you, you have to be resourceful as a wholesaler. Like you will get rejected. You're going to get rejected more than you get accepted. That's the name of the game. So just do not be a robot requesting stuff. Just be nice. And then worst case scenario, I've had lists. I've been churned down for 3 to 6 months. Sometimes you just let time go by. As employees churn over, you learn a little bit more with each one, and then you go back and you magically get it. So just be patient. And most importantly, be nice. These are real people and they have real families. And if you can have them talk about anything other than their job, especially their family, their dog and their cats, yeah, you'll usually win.
Good stuff.
Okay. Hey,
appreciate you. Glad I
okay,
finally
well,
got
keep
a chance
us updated, Rob. I'd love to hear from you, man. I love the market that you're in, by the way.
Yeah, awesome. I'll keep you updated.
Okay, see you. Okay, let's... So I'm going to do this question because it's common. Honestly, the answer is if you don't have a lot of experience going with a seller that has 5+ properties, you're not dealing with the average seller. Here's what we want to look for. We want to look for sellers with 4 or less properties, preferably 3. Why? Because you're looking for the person that bought a property, especially for a rental, and they go, listen, it's going to cash flow like crazy. It's going to be a piece of cake. And in 15 years, it's going to be paid off. The house is going to be worth double. Any of you that have a rental property or dealt with a rental property knows that is the farthest thing from the truth. Theoretically, that works, but you're going to get vacancies. You're going to get tenants that trash properties. You're going to get massive insurance rate hikes. You're going to get property rate hikes. You're going to get pandemics that hit you, all sorts of crap. That's why we get such good deals on properties, because people like, I didn't know it was this tough. It's not like a stock where you just push a button and sell it. My experience, when they have 4 or more properties, they're usually sophisticated sellers and they're usually wasting your time. It's not in every case, but if you're a newbie, here's the easiest way to attack it. Tell them to give you your most tired, weak, vacant property and make a bid on it. If it works, great. If not, don't ever bid on all properties at once. It will never, ever work out for you. Just saying, I've been doing this 21 years. And in my first 10 years, I don't think I ever got a deal like that. And after 10 years experience, it was still challenging. So hopefully that helps you out with that. Okay. Let's see here. Gary, you there? Gary. Come on, Gary. Gary, can you hear me? Gary, hit me up in the private chat. I'll try back with you. I'm just not hearing anything you're saying. I definitely want to talk to you. So you there? Okay, Gary, let's... Gary. Okay, Gary, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to come back to you. Okay, help me with the name. Is it Zeke or Zeki?
Yeah, it's Zeke.
Okay, what's going on, man? How you doing?
How you doing, Rick? It's a pleasure to meet you. I was on a call with Zach about a week ago on his live, and I met him for the first time, but I've been listening to y'all's podcast, or I guess these videos on Spotify for a couple months now, and
okay,
I'm getting started this past week wholesaling, trying to get my first deal.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, so I had one quick question, and then I would like a game plan, because I want to kind of go over what I'm doing right now and how it's working, or I guess not working.
Let's do it.
And if we could have a game plan. But my quick question is, so I do driving for dollars and reverse driving for dollars as well. And I'm doing it using Deal Machine. And a lot of them, not a lot, but like some of them, it says corporate, corporate owned. And there's like a company name. Should I add those leads? Should I sticky note those doors or no?
You're going to have to test it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's the problem with the, listen, by the way, 95% of properties are typically owned in LLCs.
Yeah.
So if you guys know how LLCs work out, I'm not going to get started with LLCs because I own a lot of them. But LLCs is kind of the lazy man's way of setting up a corporation without like liability. But the reality is an LLC washes through someone's personal tax return. So it's only one stone throw away from connecting it to that. If you really, so if you're doing a driving for dollars and you see a house that's really rough, don't let, when you see an LLC owns it, like don't let it freak you out. It's, they're just one removal from a person. And 9 times out of 10, you can find it online with like the simplest ease if you're not getting it with Deal Machine or your regular skip tracing services. Why? Because I have people reverse engineer my LLCs. They're owned by other corporations that are owned by another corporation, owned by a holding company. That is a huge waste of your time. That will take you 10, 15 hours to figure out what an LLC. It's just once removed from one person. It's usually very easy. And most people, if you go under the public records for that state's business, they'll usually put themselves down as their own registered agent and like their own mailing address. So if I see distress signals on the house and stuff like that, some of your automated services might not pick it up, but just don't let that stop you. Just go ahead and look one further. Now, when it's owned by a corporation, meaning like an Inc. or something, it's a little bit more complicated because they're much more careful. They hire very good lawyers. Most of my, I'm not putting out a challenge there, but like a lot of the properties I own, you guys would be hard pressed to find them because my name's not on them and it's done by purpose. Whereas the average person who buys a property in LLC, it's very transparent. Like any lawyer can typically find it because most people do not set them up correctly. So if you see the distress signals, go for it, do it. Like if you have to spend hours trying to research one property, figure out who owns it, move on with your life. I just, maybe you put a note on the door and somebody goes up to the door. So a reverse driving for dollars would solve that problem for you. Sometimes we try to overthink stuff. If you see high grass and stuff like that, and even if it's owned by a corporate, just put a note on the door and see if someone calls you back.
Yeah, that was,
I've been known, you're ready for this out of detail. I always had 5 or 6 properties I targeted when I did my own driving for dollars. And I would put a little piece of tape up by the door to see if somebody entered into it within the, because I would check on the house like once a week or every other week. And I could tell if somebody entered the property. Listen, zombie properties are huge profits. The reason they sit like that is because nobody can figure out who owns the damn thing. And that's how you find it if somebody goes in or out. So little tricks like that. But an LLC is an easy one. When you start to get into inks and complex trust and stuff like that, they can be a pain in the ass to find out who owns it.
Okay. So if it's like easy enough, I'll just add it on.
Yeah. But worst case here, put a note on the door. You got nothing to lose. It's not, it's going to cost you a little bit of time, but hell, you're already there. Just do it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's about it for my question. So I'll go over what I've been doing. I've been like actually actively working on it for the last 10 days. For 2 of the days I haven't done much, but the rest of the days I've been doing things. Gotcha. I've been driving for dollars. I did reverse driving for dollars. I put up 100 sticky notes and then, I've like actually driven for dollars, like added leads for 200 properties. That was, you know, cause I started driving for dollars before Zach was like, oh dude, put sticky notes up too. And I was like, okay, I should. I put up 10 bandit signs and then I've done 100 driving for dollar phone calls. And then I've done 100 calls of the probate and arrest record list, which was super easy to obtain in my area.
So what do your bandit signs say? Just so we all can
My bandit signs say we buy houses as is and pay cash and my phone number under it. There, I bought the sign itself on Amazon and then I just put my phone number under it and I'm stapling them to poles and I'm also sticking them into the ground at night.
Okay. Just be careful with the whole staples of the pole because I had a whole lawsuit against myself. My son created it against my company, but
really?
Yeah. Well, because telephone poles are owned by the federal, some of them are owned by the federal government and it can be the FCC can, I'm all for it. My only advice, because I love bandit signs. How much did you pay for the signs, just out of curiosity?
I paid $119 for 100 signs, not including the stakes.
That's pretty good. But
I did a little bit of research and I tried to find it.
The only thing I don't like is I don't like that we buy houses because it makes it almost seem like you're like part of the We Buy Ugly Houses franchise, and they get attacked quickly when they put up signs because they've all settled. They're not allowed to put out signs anymore. Because back in the 80s and 90s, that's all they did was put out signs like that. And they had a lot of lawsuits against them. And they've created a lot of problems for us now. And the only thing is you just want to mix it up. So sometimes, so whenever you have to handwrite your own ones, just put, you know, sell your house today, something like the We Buy Houses is a tired slogan I was taught back in 03. And a lot of people today just, like they go, oh God, here's a wholesaler. So the last thing, listen, nine times out of 10, if you're calling an abandoned sign, you're calling a wholesaler. But I like to leave people really curious. So if you give them just enough information, they'll call you. Three lines, period. Two lines and a phone number. I've tested it. By the way, I've probably done more than 100,000 abandoned signs. I did so many abandoned signs. I bought a machine and I invested over $100,000 just in the machinery. So like, I know a lot about bandit signs. I spent a lot of time with politicians and mattress companies and dating sites. Cause those three produce 90% of all bandit signs. So, unfortunately I had to sell everything and move on as part of a settlement. And I'm telling you, I love bandit signs, guys. A lot of times, honestly, I got so tired of bandit signs, so burnt out when my son was 16. I had a bunch of extra bandit signs and I charged him for it. And I said, you can give it a shot. I can't have my name associated with it. He changed the phone number on it because it wasn't on there. And he went out there and I think he did like five or six deals right off the bat. And I'm like, holy crap, let's do it again. Sometimes that's old school guys. Like we get so tired of something. I go, it ain't going to work anymore. And you get somebody with energy and youth and it works really well. You can do that with bandit signs, cold calling, texting. It always comes down to the energy of the person who's going to actually go out and actively market it. So I was hundreds of thousands of dollars I left on the table for years. And because I just got tired of managing it. I got tired of everyone harassing me. But guys, I've been doing this like 20 years. Like if you just start out in your first month or two, you have the energy to do it. I went out at midnight every night for 2 hours, just stuck signs everywhere, all over Port St. Lucie.
So. Something that's funny is right as I put my bandit sign up in one of the areas, three other like We Buy Houses or like sell your house bandit signs popped up in the next like 2 days next to mine in that same area. So people have their eyes on it.
Wait till you get into the bandit sign war,
where it's taking others out of the ground and they take yours. Dude,
listen, we've had them where they stick staples pointing up and put grease on the backside, so when you grab them. You can put like a tar on them and it won't come off your hands until you have to go to Home Depot, get a spot. You can't even go in the shower and get it off.
That's crazy.
Mean stuff, man. So just like, don't get into the war because it's great. I've been physically threatened, like crazy stuff. People go nuts. Cause for a long time, bandit signs was one of my main marketing campaigns. And like, I made it like my mission, but as you mature and understand, it's like not. Listen, if a guy or girl's going out and picking up your bandit signs, they're just wasting their own time. That's how I looked at it. I go, listen, if you pick up 50, I'll put out 100. And they call me all the time. I'm going, you pick up 100, I'll put out 200. I just buried them every time. Like I get more and more people to do it, but it's make bandit signs part of your rotation. I just wouldn't rely on them completely because it can change in a moment. And be careful because we do have an election cycle coming up with primaries and stuff. And it usually becomes a real mess. And it's not the national elections. It's the local stuff that's real messy.
Yeah, so there's like a million bandit signs right next to every library. Every time.
Well, that's like good. Cause in Florida, boy, they've cleaned it up, man. Like they've made it, you have to go to court now when you put in signs.
Oh really? I'm in Florida. I'm in Tampa.
You get, what do they call it? You get a summons to appear in court.
Really? Yeah. I'm in Tampa. That's
I'm talking about in my local counties. It's so, you know, Tampa, like a lot of people don't know this. Tampa was one of the original, South Florida was really the original like wholesalers ground, like back in the 80s and 90s. If you go back and do your real research, and I know it's a long way to go back, but Tampa in the early 2000s was the mecca of wholesalers. Like everybody was there. So you got some really great old school guys, in your neighborhoods. You can look them up. It's You got the Preston Ealy's, Kenny Rushing, like a lot of really cool guys. I like Tampa, but Tampa for 10 years, it was everything in wholesaling. If you wanted to learn anything, you had to go to Tampa. So I spent a lot of time. I actually went to school in Tampa too. I went to the University of South Florida. So
that's where I'm going.
Yeah. So got a finance degree. I should have got a wholesaling degree, but I wasted 12 years with that damn thing. So,
okay, real quick. So I've done bandit signs. I've done reverse driving for dollars with the sticky notes, driving for dollars. And I've done the probate and arrest record list. I've gotten no like actual leads. I've done zero offers this last week. So my goal is definitely to call more, but is there anything like you'd suggest, like what's like a good game plan? Like what should I do from here? Should I just keep working on the same things? Should I add more lists in? Anything else?
Well, you got to do a spreadsheet of your total count. Mm-hmm. And remember when you're new, you're pushing a boulder uphill and you're just trying to get it started. And it takes more and more effort. Like you got to dig your feet in and go harder and harder because you're going from zero. It's like a car that's in park and you just put it in drive. It takes a lot of energy to get that first momentum. It's the most consuming and it sucks. It's just the truth, guys. But understanding you can't get that car from zero to 100 in like a day or two. Even like sometimes it just takes time. And if you keep pushing uphill and keep learning and keep building it, everybody's got a different pace. I get it. Remember, you're running a marathon, not a sprint, because sprinters always quit. You will pass them every time. So you have to just get better each day. So look at your counts and see how you can increase it, because the more quantity you get, the more experience you're going to get. And eventually, you will cross someone that has to sell a property. It's just not a matter. And by the way, I love Tampa. You've got a lot of unique markets all around there. When you say Tampa, it's almost like saying Miami. It's like, it's a very general Hillsborough.
I've been focusing on like the Temple Terrace area and also like Clearwater, Pinellas Park, St. Pete area.
So what I'm telling you is you got to look at your total quantity, and every month you have to do more and more and keep going. And you're going to find stuff you're really good at. Like, hey, this is a breeze and this thing is an absolute nightmare. You've got to get your total calling count up, because that's going to be your fastest one to it. And then you're reverse driving for dollars. So like a lot of people think, you know, 100, 200 calls a lot. It's not. It's just a numbers game. You have to have big numbers. Now, how you increase your odds is getting more like of the niche list that you talked about earlier. So how long have you been doing this for?
10 days.
Okay. So dude, like, and how old are you?
19.
Yeah. So I didn't start till I was 33.
Yeah.
I wasted 12 years. I did the whole college program, the degree. Complete freaking nightmare, dude. If you want to go broke, do that. Like, or
I'm studying right now. My parents want me to major in engineering, so I'm doing electrical engineering at USF. So I'm doing this on the side.
Let's just talk about this real quick, because this is a hot topic with a lot of young people I deal with. And guys, I've been through this. My wife is a professional educator. She was. I made her see my way. And I do appreciate education. But you have to look at education as just a means to an end. Get through it, get your credentials, and move on with your life. Now more than ever, I hate to tell you this, college, other than the major disciplines, when I say major disciplines, medical, law, maybe engineering, architecture, I'm probably missing a couple others on there. Those are what I call college trade schools. If you don't go for one of the major disciplines, why are you guys even in college anymore? It doesn't even make financial sense. Honestly, unless you have to do it, or like your dad's the big boss somewhere. The reality is I went to college because my dad told me that was the path I was going to take. I kind of fought it. I sucked at it. I had a good time. Don't get me wrong. I'm very good at being social. I always had the gift of gab. I never understood the crap they taught us in school. And life verified it in me, because I was able to buy a house. I got a couple nice cars. It just sucks after a while. And I was fortunate enough to make a decision when I had two young children. I go, it's got to be better than this. And I said, screw it. I don't even give a crap if I have to go live in a trailer. I don't want to live like this anymore. Fortunately, I had my shit together and I ran with it. I didn't leave my job. I worked two jobs at the same time. And within that year, I was able to leave my corporate job. And it was freaking the greatest day of my life. Because here's the reality is, unless you, so you're talking about civil engineering?
Electrical engineering.
So have you looked at the what the career path for an electrical engineer is?
I have, but I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in real estate. I have my own business. I've been doing real estate photography for the last 4 years and learning about wholesaling, learning about investing, flipping, all that stuff. My goal right now is literally just to make enough money to prove to my mom if I drop out of college, I'm not dropping out because I'm, you know, lazy or anything.
So I'm going to ask some direct questions here because I think, like, if you don't want to answer them, I get it. I don't.
No.
Do your parents watch this channel?
No, I hope not. Okay. No, they don't.
So listen, you have a good relationship with your parents though, right?
I do have a great relationship. Okay, they're so divorced, that's fine. But
here's where a lot of us screw up, okay? Your parents want the best for you and they want you to be safe, but you understand they want the best for you based on their experiences.
Of course. Have you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Have you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah.
They're like, it's like that situation. Like my parents are both financially set, but they're both financially set because they've done like the college education and they've done whatever. And so they're both.
I'm going to ask something. You don't have to get specific. When you say financially set,
I don't mean they don't own like 10 real estate properties. They just live like they just have their own like they're my dad's retired and my mom's a doctor and they're like they're fine, but
I got
it's not like, you know.
They worked their butt off, didn't they? They had to do a lot of hours of work, right?
My mom drives 2 hours to work.
So let me ask you this. Do you accept that the smartest people, they don't make the most money at all, not even close? That it's so far apart. Dude, I meet people in the real estate business. I just look at them like, I know people can't even spell. Like they can't put sentences together. It's like embarrassing. Like that I can't do the math. And I'm just like, you know, I took calculus. I took a lot of complex courses multiple times because I failed them. And I got through it. I learned it. And the only thing school taught me was like basic discipline. But what I understood was I learned very quickly that the people who really made a lot of money, like they didn't go crazy on education. They learned to apply the mechanics to what the world wants and try to find a way to make a fit for it. And your education system is not set up for that at all. It's completely unequipped. It's why we have such a massive divorce rate in this country. It's absolutely nuts what's going on. The school system, honestly, K through 12, get through it as fast as you humanly possibly can. And honestly, I'd be the first one to tell you, if I had kids all over, I'd probably go to homeschooling. I just don't think the school system, like we don't push kids, we don't like do anything. And then like, so my daughter is in the medical field to do the whole doctor thing. It's her passion she wants to do, but nobody's asking yourselves like, how much am I going to make doing this? And am I going to be happy doing it? So when my daughter was studying to be a nurse, I said, so I don't know what they call it. They have to spend time in like a hospital, like 4 months, work for free. And they call it clinicals or whatever. And she goes, every nurse I meet is miserable. They're all overweight. I'm not calling nurses overweight, but a good majority of them are just not happy at work. And it prompted a conversation with me. I go, do you want that? She goes, no. She goes, well, I want to do the next level. I want to do this. So she went up two more levels. But I even sat down with her. I go, how much is the most you can make? She goes, you know, it's about $380,000. That's not chump change. Don't get me wrong. Honestly, I can do that in a couple months in wholesaling with like no work. It didn't happen overnight, guys. Like that's 20 years accumulation. But I'm just telling you, it's like I can do whatever I want. And even if I don't show up to work, I make money. And that's the problem with a lot of these disciplines our parents taught us, is they don't understand the freedom of time. And if you were, your parents still married?
No, they're divorced.
Okay. So like
the irony.
So I'm just telling you, the other thing school system doesn't do at all is we don't work on ourselves or our minds, which drives me freaking nuts. The one thing wholesaling has allowed me to do more than anyone else is it has given me time to figure out what makes me happy and why my family repeats the exact same patterns over and over. Guys, I've been through some traumatic stuff in my life between family members passing away and stuff. And honestly, if I followed my family's path, I would, like, here's an example. I drank alcohol socially forever because it's just what I did. It's what my dad did. It's what everyone did. I woke up one day as a whole cigar. I don't want to drink anymore. I got, what's the point? And it is a massive change in my life, a complete shift. And I made that decision consciously. And I just said, I don't know why, like, honestly, I don't even know why I do it. We all do it subconsciously. You can make decisions that are crazy. I've been married 27 years to my, and we have to work. I've been married 27 years to my wife and we have to work on it every day. It's not easy, but my wife was a school teacher. She goes, I really hate my job one day. She goes, I love teaching the kids. I think it's amazing what teachers do. But the corporate side of it, it's an absolute nightmare what they do in these school systems. They're under so much pressure to pass these kids and move them on. I remember doing one wholesale deal. I go, you're fired. You work for me now. She goes, really, can you afford to do that? She goes, yeah. And after about 2 years, man, she didn't miss it at all. And I'm just telling you, I retired my wife. I've gone through all my family and helped them out with whatever. And they all in the beginning thought I was a drug dealer. Swear to you. Like, and I don't do drugs. I'm just saying is, why do we all accept this norm of what the hell is going on? You guys are all stuck in the matrix. And here's the biggest problem is we all try to conform to what our parents want. You do not have to follow your parents' path. And if you're willing to give up your life just to make your parents happy, you're going to doom and repeat the cycle. It doesn't mean disrespect your parents. It means, so if you have to get a college degree to get your parents off your back, just get through it fast as possible and get it and just check it off. How do you do it? Go online. You can get the same degree that you get in these major universities without all the dorm cost, all that other BS you guys pay for. Stop getting these huge loans. The whole thing's a ginormous scam. And if you truly want to be happy, I don't owe one person the money. I don't owe a penny. I own multiple homes personally. Guys, I do not live under this world that everybody else does. I paid my fare. I put 12 years of tax in. It sucks. If you don't believe me, try it out. I promise you, you're all going to wind up in the same spot. If you just want to survive every weekend to forget about your job and your miserable life, you're doing things wrong. And the biggest thing is that here's what I fell for. I constantly tried to make my divorced parents happy. Was my biggest mistake. If I just went on my own and did what I read a Tony Robbins book when I was 17, it changed my life. But here's the, it got me excited. I didn't know how to do it. And it scared the hell out of me. And when I tried to apply it, guess what people did to me, Zeke? Guess what they did? It's like, are you crazy? You can't
believe
that.
You. Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, you've got to understand what happens with this stuff is find a way to have it. Honestly, just have an honest talk with your parents. Tell them what you want to do. Tell them I respect you. And then if your plan is to get a college degree, just get it as fast as you can.
That's my plan right now. I mean, they have enough to they're paying for most of my way through college.
That's the catch 22 too.
All my own stuff, like my apartment and all that, I'm able to pay for through my own business. So it's I'm fine right now, but I want to just prove to them, when I get out of college, I'm not going to keep on pursuing this, 9 to 5 working for someone making a amount that you're never going to be able to retire until you're 65 with. That's crazy to me.
And it takes time. It makes no sense. A lot of people do you want me to stand up to my parents? I go, well, here's the alternative. Be 12 years and miserable like me. Guys, I weighed 260 pounds, drank plenty of alcohol, did all that stuff. And if I didn't do wholesaling, I would have never had the time to make those changes because I have time. I can do what I want. And I'm just telling you guys, listen, it doesn't mean you don't love your parents any less, but most of your parents I hope the parents are watching. They're just not great financial advisors. And if you don't want to be in your parents' footsteps, why would you follow in the exact same footsteps? And understand this too. They grew up in a different generation. I grew up in a different generation than most of you watching this. And I had to make the painful change at the peak of my life of the most expenses, the most obligation of my life. But I waited till I was fed up. If I just made that decision when I was 18, my God, I don't know what would have happened. I mean, because I always had the drive. I just didn't know how to do it. So you're on the right path, guys. Listen, you're only on this planet once, man. You got to live every day. You're going to die once, but you can live every day. And if you, disease is harbored by stress. And when you're not aligned with the earth and you got to make changes. And I don't care if you pick wholesaling or not. I'm just telling you, most people in this world, 98% of them are just want to get by. And if you don't want to do that, make the change. But you got to be willing to go through some very challenging, uncomfortable times. They're not risky, and move on. Why do you think we have such an overweight nation, a broke nation, everything else going on? I love this country. I don't understand what's going on, man. Like, people just need to be accountable. I love wholesaling because you can be completely accountable for what you want to do. And so here's my advice to you. The sooner you have an honest conversation with your parents, the better off you're on. My son at the age 18 was completely financially independent, and he could have done it from 17. And I'm just saying, like, we have kids living in the basements in their 40s now. So I'm not like this Andrew Tate type of guy, but I really think we need to take charge of what we need to do. And this isn't just for the guys, it's for the girls too. Like, I'm tired of people being broke, and like, money fixes a lot of problems. I'm sorry. It's going to give you more problems, but we're all going to have problems. I've never met someone that doesn't have a problem. Let's just communicate to your parents, because I avoided my parents and I just gave up. I listened to my father that never financially set aside anything for anybody in our family, terrible habits, and never spent any time with me from 12 on. This is because we all try to look up to our father, and it's like, where the hell did that get me? So be honest with them and talk to them. But at the end of the day, you are your own man. I get it. They're supplying you with stuff. And so my suggestion is, was Zach was in this dilemma. I said, just get your degree as fast as possible. He was cold calling in his dorms. He goes, man, I'm completely sold. And I go, listen, go get your education, get the college experience. And I tell everybody, if your greatest days are in college, you are living the wrong life, man. Like, I'm 53, dude. I've never been more physically strong, happier in my life, and had a better relationship with my wife and kids than I have now because I worked. Most people quit at age 24, 25, and they just go downhill. And that's why, guys, without wholesaling, I wouldn't have any of this stuff. And so I'm biased. I know it, but like, respect your parents. But at some point, you got to understand, it's like, if you do not want to follow that same path, you got to make changes. And some people have wonderful parents and they follow them. I never pushed Zach to do wholesaling. He made that choice. You know why he made that choice? He goes, Dad, because you spent a ton of time with me and you've always been there for me. And I didn't even know what you did until I kind of grabbed it. And you got to understand, since Zach was six, I've brought him the house as it's just the norm in our family. I go, Zach, I'm on a phone call. I'm sorry. I got a really important call. So I ran this business all by myself 7 years, way too long. And dude, if I started at your age, oh my God. So you're on the right path. The only other thing is I would go to local live events. Just don't buy any of their crap there and just have fun with it.
Live events
with other people that are going through your journey is a lot.
Like real estate investing live events?
Yeah.
How can I find
those? Not live events, just I'd like to go to the RIA events. So I have some lifelong friends I started 21 years ago with, and I absolutely love it.
Okay. Awesome stuff. It was a pleasure speaking with you, Rick.
Okay, man.
We'll talk again. I'm going to work twice as hard next week doing more cold calls. But
you got it. But like, I'm going to get down like 10 days. It's not enough to go, hey. But
yeah,
after 30 days, we'll start looking at numbers. And I'll show you how to push it because you're going to have to make much more than 100 calls. I'm just going to like forewarn you. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Going to be bigger numbers. And then.
Yeah, I know. My issue is I get so many like shoots booked at between like 2 and 6, like in the afternoon, and I don't want to cold call in the morning. So I'm like, I have time to, but I don't want to, whatever.
You're figured out, dude. I worked an 80-hour a week job and did wholesaling with 2 young children and a fat mortgage. So it's like,
yeah, I'm going to make it work. I'm hiring an employee for my other business. So I'm going to be more free, hopefully,
good.
But
good.
It's going to make it work. Okay.
Awesome. Bye. Okay, bud. I'll let you go, man. I appreciate talking to you. And guys, I want you to understand, like, I know that was a little bit longer conversation. You guys know I like to talk, but it's so important that you guys understand just because your parents gave birth to you doesn't mean they have the rights to control you the rest of your life. I love my parents to death, but man, I was guided. I wasted 12 years of my life. I can't get it back. And if I can save one person from doing that, if you want the safe way, I'm not the guy to talk to. But if you want the most fulfilling way and an amazing life, and you're willing to put in the work and the time with it, I'm your guy, because I've been through the journey, man. I pissed away 12 years and I don't have any regrets, because it's the man who made me today, but I bought into the matrix of how life's supposed to work. And I'm here to tell you that I avoided the hard conversations, and I just, you know, Ziggy's on the right path. So I just use it as a stepping stone, and everybody else can learn with it. So guys, that's about all the time I have for today. I appreciate it. Listen, if you got value from this, please do me a favor and make sure you hit that subscribe button. You hit that like button. Give me some love here. And I will be back on tomorrow on the Flip With Rick channel. I believe I'll be on 1 p.m. It is a special broadcast. I'm going to release a technique on there I've never shared before. I know I'm going to get a lot of crap for it, but it's too good. And if you're looking for free motivated leads, please tune at 1 o'clock at Eastern time tomorrow on the Flip With Rick channel. Make sure you check out my son's channel. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, guys. Have a good one. See you guys later.